implement what you've heard and what you've learned today, I hope all of you have got this statement. I hope this is embedded in your mind. If nothing else today, I hope you got this statement. There's no doubt parents are the primary influence in their children's lives. I hope you got that. All right? You cannot have the drop-off mentality and think, because I take them to church, spiritually, they're all set, ready to go. Because I make them go to youth camp, because they go to youth activities, because they're in children's church, they go to Awana, so the spiritual end's taken care of. The church has got it covered. You better get that out of your mind, or your kids will be another one of those statistics that we read up on the screen at the very beginning this morning from Pastor Rob. You got to get that out of your mind. You are the primary influence. And you have just by virtue of being their parents, you have influence unlike anybody else. Now, what you do with that influence, well, that's up for discussion. But it's not up for discussion whether or not you have that influence. You have it. What you do with it is what we want to talk about, right? But because of that influence that you have, and you know, through the years being a pastor here, I've had people try to blame the youth group for the demise of their children, you know, or blame me for the demise of their children, you know. And every time I ever hear that it's the youth pastor's fault my kid didn't turn out. It's the pastor's fault. I always laugh when I hear that. I just laugh like crazy because I think in my mind that if I have so little influence over my kids that some person that they see once or twice a week for an hour or two can undo all the hours I have with them, man, I'm telling on myself, aren't I? If I say my kid didn't turn out because of this person, I mean, come on, that's a cop-out. That's wrong. I have the primary influence over my kids. And that's the bottom line. The buck stops right here with my three. Not your kids, my kids. The buck stops here. And you know what? You may do my kids dirty and wrong, but if they don't turn out for God, that is not your fault. That's my fault. You know? And so, you know, we have to seize the opportunity, and we have to take that influence we've got and we have to use it for God. We got the influence. We got the forum. We got the platform. We got to use it. We have to be the primary spiritual influence in our children's lives. Many parents, I believe, desire to teach your children about spiritual things, but fear paralyzes you. Fear. Where do I begin to teach them about God? I don't know where to read in the Bible. Well, you know, I'm untrained. You know, I don't know the Bible like Pastor Rob. You know, well, what do I do? What if they ask me something I don't know? And fear paralyzes us. You know, there are basically, and by the way, Mike, that was a phenomenal, wasn't Mike's testimony phenomenal? Man, that was awesome. Man, I have seen that guy grow so much in the Lord. And when Mike's back there singing in the choir, man, you can just tell it's real. You know, man, a lot of you can't see him, you know, because but I see him, man. I'm leading the choir, and Mike, man, I mean, he is just smiling and loving, singing for the Lord, and he's got his sons right next to him singing in the choir, and I think, man, that's real. It's real to Mike, and man, you're such a blessing to me, and I appreciate that testimony so much. But I think fear paralyzes us. I think there are basically three different ways that parents. There's three different ways you, now listen closely, three different ways that you impart to your children spiritual truth. There are three different ways that you impact them for God. There are three different ways that you teach them biblical principles, character lessons, spiritual truth. Three different ways. Number, and I'm going to focus on the third one, but I just want to give you the first two. The first way that you impact them for God is by just simply living a godly example in your life. The child, think about this, the child sees the parent in a wide variety of situations, correct? I mean, They see you in ways that other people don't. Your kids, you take my kids. Okay, you guys see me at church. You see me in that respect. My kids, they see me doing household chores. They see me mowing the grass. They see me when I stub my toe. They see me when I'm at home relaxing. They see me when how I relate to Denise. They see that, how I relate to her on an everyday. They see it. They know. Some of you may wonder, I wonder what it's like in Pastor Dan's house. They know. Ask my kids. They know. You know, they see how I interact with them and your kids see you helping them with their homework. They see you when you're talking on the phone to somebody and how you talk. They see you, when you're in your car and you're listening to music, they see you. Your kids see you in a variety of situations that nobody else does. What do they observe when they look at you? You know, when they see you in these various circumstances, what do they see? You know, that's a powerful forum by which you teach your children. No doubt. That's a powerful forum. So you can teach them about God that way, just in the way you live your everyday life. And they watch you, they observe you, and they're impacted. That's one way. The second way that you teach your children spiritual truth is by spontaneously using teachable moments. In other words, there's a shared experience between a parent and a child. There's some kind of a shared experience in which an application of a biblical principle or an insight can be made. Those moments come every day in our lives, and we need to take advantage of those moments and teach our children. And if some tragedy comes up on the news, and you're together and you see it or you hear it, you talk about that and how that relates to God, you know, and so forth. So, you know, things like that come up every day in our lives. Well, the third one is the third way that we impact and that we teach our children spiritual truth, and it's the one I want to focus on, is planned, what I call planned family devotion time. Now, that's the one I want to focus on because this involves the parents intentionally implementing a plan to teach your children about God and the Bible. And it's crucial. I'm talking about an intentional plan. The first two really aren't intentional. I use spontaneous moments. I just live out a godly example. Those are good. Those are very important. But they really don't involve an intentional plan to teach your kids this book and get it rooted in their heart and in their lives. Now, when we talk about family devotion time, there is no glorious secret to this with your children. I want you to know, this is not something that only preachers can do or a Bible graduate or something that that you have to have been through our 3-year Bible Institute to do. I want you to know there's no glorious secret to this. It is simply you as a parent taking a few moments out of your day to just read the Bible as a family. Just discuss what you read. See if maybe anybody in the family has something that you need to be praying about as a family, and then just saying a prayer together. That's all it is. Now, I want to give you basically 5 or 6 practical tips on how you can establish a family devotion time with your kids. I want you to just listen. This lesson's going to be available as a tool for you at the end. It'll be on the resource table. Also, we have provided a devotional guide that's going to help you immensely and give you direction, and I'll explain that at the end too. But for right now, can I give you 5 or 6 just real practical things? Then I'm going to have a member of our church that isn't a preacher, isn't in full-time ministry. He's a husband. He's a dad. He goes to work every day, comes home, but he's going to talk to you just a little bit about his experience with this, all right? But here's the first thing, okay? Number one, and again, you can get the notes, so just listen. Keep it short and simple. When we talk about having family devotion time, we're talking about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4, at the most 5 minutes. Now, it could spontaneously turn into more than that. You know what I mean? Man, just God lays some stuff on your heart and you share it, or the kids begin to share things. And so it could spontaneously turn into more, but it doesn't have to be over 3, 4, 5 minutes. So the first principle is just keep it short and simple. We're not talking about a 30-minute commitment every day, all right? The second thing is that it should be practical for the kids. It should be applicable to their lives. Explain how that Bible verse relates to their everyday lives. In the devotion book that we have prepared and that we have put together for you, you know, most of these, they're only a verse to read, or two verses, or three at the most, per day. So you read it and then say, okay, what does that mean? You know, how does that apply to your life? For example, if you read, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Okay, how do we hide the Bible in our heart? And just talk about that, you know, with the kids. How do you do that? If one of these weeks, the topic is on honesty. And all the verses that week deal with being an honest person. So make it applicable. Ask your kids, say, hey, give me an example of dishonesty at school. And let them talk to you. Give some examples. So make it applicable. The third thing is it must be planned. Having a regular time each day really helps. So for you, maybe it's right after supper. For you, it might be right before bedtime. It might be right after they're tucked in. It might be when dad gets home from work. It might be at the breakfast table. You got to figure out what works for your family, but have a set time. Now, it's going to change. Things happen. So there'll be times when you have to move it, but try to have a regular time that helps everyone to remember and make it a habit. You can change the location. That's fun. Maybe it's after supper, and one night we do it in the living room, one night we do it in the family room, one night we do it out on the porch, the next night we do it we go to the park and then get an ice cream when we're done. You know, you can change the location, but try to have a set time. The fourth principle is give everybody a chance to talk. Give everybody a chance to talk. Mom and dad can lead it, but man, encourage questions. Let the kids ask a question or encourage feedback, interaction. What's that verse mean to you? What do you think that's saying? The parents facilitate the discussion, but everybody feels free to participate and give input. Now, as your kids get older, allow them to lead in devotions from time to time. For example, it's kind of cool. I got a 14 and a 16-year-old, and now, maybe once a week, we let them lead. We say, hey, you're doing devotions tomorrow night. Now, we didn't have this. We didn't have the devotional guy. We're going to start using this. But we may say to them, hey, tomorrow night, you need to look what the verse is. And you need to kind of look at it because you're going to lead us tomorrow night. You're going to lead the discussion. So as they get older, you can let them do it maybe one night a week. Okay. The next thing that I want to share with you, just a practical tip. If you've got a resource like what we're going to give you, read the verse ahead of time that's going to be for that night. Read it ahead of time, like maybe in the morning before work, and then just be thinking about it all day. Be praying about what you might want to share with the kids. Don't be afraid to share personal stories from your childhood with your kids. Don't be afraid to share an event that happened yesterday at work. Can I tell you, kids love it. They love it when their parents share stories with them. Clint, you still remember stories I told you, don't you, when you were a kid? And in fact, sometimes I'd tell him a story like when I was in junior high school, and he'd be on the edge of his seat, and it was kind of weird in a way because, you know, the next night he'd say, Dad, tell that story again. You know, and I tell it again, you know. Yeah, tell it. I want to hear that story again, you know. And he'd want to hear that story. They love to hear stories about your childhood. They love to hear stories about what happens to you. So it's really cool. I know I loved it when my dad would tell stories. I loved it. I would just be hanging on it, you know. I wish he was still alive. I'd be picking his brain for more stories. I loved it. But anyway, read the verse ahead of time so you can kind of be thinking about what you might want to say. And then the last thing is this. Don't be afraid to use different methods from time to time. In other words, one night you read the verse, God may lay on your heart a personal story you want to share with them. Another night, it may be an event from work. Another night, you may want to bring in an object. And you say, you know, I was reading this verse and it reminded me of this object. And you kind of use an object lesson. You know, you may think of a picture that illustrates that verse. And so you print a picture out on the computer. How long does that take? 30 seconds? You print a picture, and kids love pictures. You hold up the picture and say, you know, especially with younger kids, just to kind of have an object or a picture. Maybe a family memory you share. Maybe an event from the current news. The main thing is what Mike Rich just said, you know, and that is have fun with it. You know, have fun with the thing. You know, when you're all done, end with prayer. A different person can pray each night too. I know sometimes that's, and by the way, I just want to hit on this because I do think this is something we battle with. Guys, we are men, we're very, very sure of ourselves when it comes maybe to sports or a hobby or our work. But sometimes we're very, very unsure of ourselves when it comes to this type of thing. And the main thing is what we talked about, be real. Just be real, you know. And the way you pray is you just talk to God, you know, like He's your friend. And you just talk, prayer is just talking to God. But I want to encourage you, if you're not ready to pray in front of your wife and your kids, don't let that keep you from still doing this. You know, still read the Bible with them and talk to them about God. Even if you don't pray, you know, do this. Do the Bible with them. They need to be taught from you. Or, you know, we end up another statistic, our kids up here, as another kid that was raised in church and then bolted when he was 18 or 19. So still do it. You know, maybe mom feels comfortable praying. Let her pray. Let the kids pray. You know, don't let that keep you from doing this. It's very, very, very important, okay, that they hear it from you. It's very important they hear from you how much you love the Lord and that you believe the Bible. Now, real quickly, I'm going to spend 2 minutes and just say, here's some potential dangers to avoid. I got to tell you, there are some dangers. I've lived them, and I know, okay? I've been doing devotions since Clint was, you know, little. And I can tell you there are some dangers. The first one is when you make it a legalistic law. There may be times when you miss a night. That's okay. That's okay. You got home late. Family members are sick. An emergency arose. You know, that happens. Don't allow it to be like this law hanging over your head. And because that takes the joy out of it. You know, do your best to keep it a regular part of your family schedule. But if you miss a night, don't put yourself under condemnation. Okay? It's not the end of the world. The second thing, the second danger is not only making a legalistic law, but also making it an axe grinding session. Now, what I mean by that is family devotion time should not turn into the time when the parents put their children in their place. And they're going to use the Bible as a billy club to kind of punish their children. This is, you know, devotion time isn't discipline time. So it's not the time to bring up their mistakes and failures and sins of the day. Okay? So, you know, you got to be careful that it doesn't just become this thing your kids dread because they know they're going to basically get a lecture from you. Okay? And by the way, don't allow siblings to be accusing and corrective towards each other either. You know, you read the verse and right away, you know, kids will do this. That's him. That's him. He did that to me today. You know, don't let it turn into that, all right? Don't let your brother, you know, brothers and sisters do that to each other. So bottom line, keep it positive and keep it fun. The last danger is this, making a legalistic law, making an axe grinding session. And then the last thing is making it too long. That's the third danger. Don't allow family devotion time to become this long, drawn-out thing each night that everybody kind of begins to dread. It's up to the parents to make sure you keep things moving and don't let things get bogged down. Sometimes you'll get one child that wants to dominate family devotion time. And they want to just kind of keep it going and on and keep, you know, you got to take control and not let it turn into this, you know, big, long, drawn-out thing every night. And so parents have to make sure that they, you know, lead it, guide it, and keep everything, you know, the way it should be. All right? So what I want to do is we're going to hand these out here in just a minute. But before we do, Brother Al Franzini, would you come up, Brother Al? And Brother Al has, as I said, is a member of our church, a dad. And he's just going to share with you, you know, his experience with this. And, man, I appreciate you doing it, Al. All right?
The Bible says that me and my wife are one flesh, but two reasons she's not up here. Number one, in 5 weeks she's going to deliver our third baby. And standing up will get her too tired. Number two, she probably doesn't want to be crying in front of everybody. So, gotcha, bit. Wow, just a lot of things that you guys have been speaking about. You know, I took time to write something down. My wife said, you need to write something down. I'm the kind of guy that can get up here and talk for probably 4 hours, but we got lunchtime and stuff like that. I'm going to start off with this. 6 years ago, I would never be in front of you. I would never think about talking about the things I'm going to talk about now. God changed my life. Me and my wife got saved in this church, in these pews, the same day on a Christmas Eve service. So none of what I'm going to talk about is possible without Christ and what he's done in our lives. So I'll start off with these statements. Bear with me. When they grow up, they're going to do what they want anyways. Don't shield them. Let them venture out a little more. It's no big deal. Let them watch that or let them do that. These are statements that probably you've heard, probably you battle with. For me, when me and my wife started devoting our lives of having devotions in our home, teaching our kids about God's word, these are some challenges that come from the outside. Even in our family, even my family that is saved, they'll kind of struggle with that. Well, we want to teach them God's word and not compromise that. And it's easy to let that creep in you and to bring doubt on you when you hear that. But we just devoted ourselves. We said we want to teach our kids God's word. We want them to love the Lord. And how can we do that? And it started when we changed and when it came in us first personally. Now, family devotion time, I'm getting there real quick. Family devotion time is a crucial part of our children's upbringing. Most kids will do what they see in the home. We've talked about that. That statement frightens me and my wife, and we wanted to submit to God's way of raising our children. Again, we've heard this. We're not perfect. Our kids certainly won't be perfect, but God will be honored. He's a rewarder to those who seek him. I looked at this verse real quick, and then I'm gonna list out some practical things that we've done. And, you know, I'm not the most qualified man standing up here, but God qualifies all of us to speak on these things. But I thought about Ephesians 6:4, and I have a joke about this too. So, and it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Mike Rich, I heard you talk about that nurture and admonition. Nurture means that which promotes growth, education, instruction, admonition, gentle reproof, direction. You know, if we're going to give our kids direction and instruction, we could do what the world says to do, but you know, as for me and my house, it's coming from God's word. And so we're instructed to do that. And the thing I'm laughing about now is as you teach your kids God's word, they're going to hold you accountable. They're going to know God's word. You know, one thing. Well, yeah. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, kind of, if you guys know where I was going with that. But that went over some of y'all's heads. It's okay. It wouldn't mind, too. Anyway, my wife and I have made our home a place of daily devotion where we point our children towards God and the Bible. We focus more showing them how to please God and talk about how obeying their parents are a way for them to serve God. In discipline or anything, I tell my son, I'm like, why do you want to obey mommy and daddy? He's like, because it's the right thing to do. I said, that's nice, but why do you want to obey mommy and daddy? I said, how do you know that? How do we know that? Because it's in the Bible, right? It's God. It's in the Bible. And you're pleasing God when you obey mommy and daddy, you know? And I don't want to grow my kids up, like you said, and that's something that's stuck in my head forever, to be just good kids. I want them to, when they leave my home, when they leave our home, me and my wife, I want them to love the Lord with all their heart, to love God's word, and have a healthy appetite for that, because that's going to give them far more power and strength in their life than just to rely on me. I could be gone tomorrow, so that's our goal. I thought about some practical things, and I'm going to end with this. Some of the things that we've done, we'll ask them when we leave church, what'd you learn today? And don't just take that, God, the Bible. You'll hear that a lot, right? All right. And then we started holding him accountable because he's like, you went to three classes today and you don't remember one? No. Next week, if you don't know, so next week they were ready. They had it lined up. And this gradually happened over time as God was growing us. It just became, my wife was saying, it's such a natural thing now. Yeah, it is for us now. It's a natural thing that comes. And scheduling planned time, definitely need to improve that. I think everybody, being consistent, like you say, don't make a religious thing. And we have that. Prayer time as a family, so important. Leaps and bounds have changed us. Prayer time at night, dads, mom, whoever it can be, have some prayer time at night with your kids. Talk to them real quick. Family scripture memorization. This is something we did. We'd hang memorization scripture, and we would all have to learn it, and we would all memorize it together. Maybe it's for a week, 2 weeks. If you're going to hide God's word in your heart, memorize it. Those are some of the things we've done. Explaining song lyrics led into good Bible talks. Oh, I like that song. Yeah, what does it mean? Well, I don't know. Let's find out what it means. There's some good scriptural basis on that song. We'd get the verses where that song came from, talk about it. It became a devotion, and so now the kids know what they're singing. They understand that. Schedule Bible talks and lessons, like your last point was. Special holiday devotions and illustrations. My wife does illustrations on Easter. What do they call those? They raise up. We put them in the oven overnight. Huh? Resurrection cookies. You put them in the oven at night. You leave the oven open a little bit. When you wake up, they rise up. And so we use some illustrations. I think, you're talking about some of those things. Use God's word in discipline and encouragement on a daily basis. Teachable moments. I thought about that. So many times, does everything to us, everything points back to God. And it's like, do you know why that happened? And we'll just get to talk about it. And those discussions will happen. That's so impacting. Something I've just recently done with my boys is reading Bible plans. And we gave them a reward. I did 30 days. My youngest son, I found 5 verses a day. And I said, after you read all this, and we'll get the check boxes, we'll talk about what you're reading. And after that, we're going to take you to Speed Park, And he's, he's excited. My big, reward's okay, chocolate, whatever. And I'm not saying reward kids for every single little thing, but I'm giving my kids a healthy appetite for God's word. And that's the direction I want to point. My kids, me and my wife are fully devoted to that. And you can't go wrong. Satan will lie to us and tell you no. But you can't go wrong with God's word. It doesn't return void. This is the only truth that we have. And if we're pointing our kids to God's word, and we have such a huge responsibility as parents. And it's so sweet when we're in communion with the Lord and we're doing what he wants us to do. And it will change your life. It will change your family like crazy for God's glory. And I'm just excited. We're having a new child in 5 weeks, and this will be the first child we have when we're both in the Lord from the very beginning. And we're so excited to lead her to the Lord one day, to teach her God's word. It should be a passion of ours. We're never going to get it right, fully right. I don't stand here to pretend I know everything or I've done everything right. I'm learning every day. Experiences was one of your points. Boy, yeah, those are great. So I probably... You guys know. Anyone who's parents, right? It's parent conference experiences. Boy, if we only knew then what we knew now. So, and the ones who are having children soon, you'll hear all of it. You'll make the same mistake anyway, but you're going to learn. You're going to learn. So, I probably went over a little bit, but, just encourage you to stay, get focused and just, make your whole life a devotion, with your children. And God won't return void on that, And just exciting to be able to teach God's word to our own kids and to have the supplement of the church to help us out. And really, like you say, that's what you are. You equip us. We train our home, and it works that way. So thank you guys for letting me speak. Thanks, Clint, for giving me the opportunity to speak on this.